So I'm a little taken aback by what happened this morning. So thank you. Thank you, everybody. I'm grateful for the setup that when you are free in your mind and you understand that your freedom comes because you've turned your will and your life over to a power greater than yourself, that you can finally trust in every single thing that ever happens. And that there's a general trust that every situation is complete and whole and perfect. And that it's like when you live in that, when you come from that feeling of, oh my God, there is a God. Oh my God, I am His mind. Then there's a harmony that begins to take over where you, every situation and everything that happens to you is a reflection of that care and that trust and that gentleness. And I love it because then you stop sequencing a time in which you feel like you have to strive for something that's not with you present here and now. Can you turn that down just a little bit? So, you know, finally a mind that is relieved of the travesty of striving, you know, the travesty of trying to solve its own problem is brings you into the quietness and the gentleness that is finally what you've always been looking for, you know, and a deep sense of peace. And how did this happen? I mean, finally in my mind, through all the concepts of the course and the practice, it's like you finally have this moment of wow, I have no idea what's supposed to happen. I mean, it's an extension of the idea of, I have no idea who I am, where I am, what I'm doing. I have no idea what's supposed to happen to me. I've been told, people tell me in books that this is what an awakening experience is supposed to look like. And yet, I have no idea. Right? And that through the admittance of that, through the allowing that to be your honest assessment of where you find yourself right now, something real happens. You know, something real that now you understand, or you are given you're given information specifically about what you are and where you are and what your function is. And it's personal, and it's real, and it makes you happy. And always it's something that you can share. It's always something that you will begin to demonstrate that you, my brother, are not outside of my mind. That we share, that we are much more similar than we are different. And that similarity has nothing to do with our body associations, but with with the love that our Creator feels for us. And we begin to understand in our whole minds, wow. We begin to understand in our whole minds the nature of our minds. We begin to see, wow, my next thought that I have, I'm having for everybody. right? What would my thought be if the next thought that I had, I was thinking for everyone? And that everybody in the universe was going to hear it. What if I was what is it that in that communication in which I can literally communicate my mind, and in that communication I will have an idea of myself that is completely beyond whatever I experienced myself in the past to be? What would it be? For me, it's simply, thank you, dear brother. Thank you, dear friend. Thank you for how I was created and what I am and what you are with me. And the moment that occurs in my mind, I'm beyond myself. I'm in a new space and a new time. And I'm no longer striving to fix a problem that doesn't exist. Right? And so my mind, it's great. It's like, you know, this is, the Course in Miracles teaches that forgiveness offers everything I want. What do you want? Do you want a peaceful heart, a tranquil mind, joy beyond compare? Yeah. My forgiveness offers this to me because my forgiveness is the recognition that I have no needs. Is that true? My forgiveness is the recognition that the thoughts that I thought were about myself have absolutely no reality. And that I made a distinction in my mind, and I understood that my thoughts about myself and myself are two completely different things. Right? And that you have choice. And yay. So in that freedom, in that recognition, my mind is brought into an association with gentleness that I never had before. I'm gentle with myself. I love myself. You know, finally, this is a course in that how you feel about yourself right here and right now is going to be how you view the universe. And finally, this is a course in your resurrection, right? And Jesus is going to say, your resurrection is nothing, your body resurrection is nothing more than your identification in your mind with the Christ. That's how you feel about yourself, right? How does it feel to be the Christ? It's what you are. And it's beyond, at first it might be, wow, I had an experience of that. Right? Wow, there's a lot of love out there, and I'm still myself. Until you begin to understand and accept in your mind that that is you, that love, that perfection, that grace, that creativity is what you are. So, yay. Wow. I love it. So, was it a recognition? Was it a moment where I just went, wow, nothing happens to me. Let me see if I can do it this way. Nothing happens to me in my concepts, right? I have a formulation and imagery of what's supposed to happen, my plans of myself, my self-identity is an image, and I formulate in my mind methods of solving problems, right? And I see myself in my mind solving those problems, and I'm always in a discrepancy with that relationship with the world that I see, because the world doesn't match how I feel about myself. And so I'm always striving for some form of integration in my mind. And anything that a whole mind would want to tell you is that you don't need to solve the problem of yourself, because the self that you think you are doesn't exist. Right? And so, wow, what a relief. And this is the relief of, wow, all I had to remember in my own mind in order to gain the first place of accepting my creative whole mind was to remember that I did not make myself. So, you know, finally, this idea of an identified self is a complete lack in trust, right? It's a lack in trust that you're perfect and whole and complete just as you are right now. You know, it's a lack of trust that you are totally taken care of right in this moment. And that every time that I try to solve the problem of myself, I confirm and initially feel the hopelessness of being in a situation that I can't get out of, right? So, you know, this is where it's just like I have failed entirely in salvation. You know, I have failed entirely to match the mental construct that I have in my mind of what an awakened mind looks like and to match it. Right? This is what I am getting at. And so, so where the release in that is for me is that I have no idea what this is supposed to look like. And the moment that I admit that to myself, this is the taking the responsibility that I am responsible for how I feel, something new happens to me. Something in which I have an experience, a gentleness, and a care that comes over me that that the problem that I thought I just had, I can't even find anymore. I can't remember it. It's not there for me anymore. You know, and this is the miracle. You know, the miracle is the correction that I actually didn't need to do anything, you know? That all I needed to do was recognize that my being, what I am right now, sitting here in this chair, will suffice. Your being is perfect. You are lovable. And God loves you. And that the moment that you feel that way about yourself, you begin to feel that way about everything. You stop localizing love. You stop localizing goodness. And you start finding it everywhere. And so that you stop having an association of time in your mind. I don't know if I'm making any sense at all. It's a new experience for me, so it's fun to try to talk about it. Isn't that great? So the quietness that you're discovering, this vast beingness, wow, is afforded to you because you don't have to talk about yourself anymore. You know, that you recognize that you could not solve the problem of yourself, which is all that you do in your mind, right? And you discovered, you know, I always say this because, and this is really funny, he's going to do this on this video today. He's going to read this parts of the book that he actually hasn't read in the last four videos. He's been holding it up. And it's the What God Wants book. And he's finally going to read from it today. And he's going to say that, you know, the problem that you have is your guilt. You think you actually did something. You think that your guilt, that if you could figure out what you did wrong, that would solve your problem, right? I know a lot of you guys are with me in this. If you could figure out what it is that you did wrong, everything would be okay. And so, in a sense, you still think that guilt affords you what it does is it affords you the ability to be who you think you are, right? But what if you didn't do anything? What if you're guilty for nothing? You know? And it's an exciting idea to see that you, in your trust of your Creator, you can't make a mistake. Sin is impossible, right? Is sin impossible?
Yes.
So that means that you can't make a mistake, right? That you are perfect. Everything that comes from you is perfection. And the only thing that you do in order to avoid that in your mind is you judge your experience, right? You judge.
Yeah.
Right? What if you accepted totally, exactly here and now, your perfection? It gets off the mark a little bit. But I get really excited in the idea that you've done nothing wrong. That your recognition of your Creator is fundamentally you accepting in your mind right now your goodness, your lovableness, and that what you think you need to overcome is not true, right? So what I've done now is, I love this with Jesus. He says, Jesus' resurrection is his identification with the Christ, right? The only other thing that you would need to remember out of that is, because you're not alone, this is a shared experience, whatever you think of your brother is exactly how you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
So in that recognition, what would you communicate? What would be the energy? What would be the light frequency that you would communicate, that everything could communicate with you in? Thank you. I love you. So, all right. So creation's gentleness is all I see. I have indeed misunderstood the world because I laid my sins on it, right? And I saw them looking back at me. How fierce they seemed. And how deceived was I to think that what I feared was in the world? How deceived was I? I was deceived, right? So I would hope that you would understand that no one's making you guilty, right? That you, I would want you to understand, I'm going to take a page here, that you're insane, but you're not guilty, right? Okay? Does that, right? It's great. Can you understand and see the difference that you're completely insane, but you're not guilty? All right? And that he's going to say this on the video. It's pretty extraordinary because I've never really heard him talk about this, but he's going to say that guilt is an energy, right? And that it's a frequency. And actually, this is an interesting idea. I don't know about it, so I'm just going to say it. But it's an interesting idea that guilt is actually no movement, right? It's actually a lack of a vibration, right? And that you close yourself down basically to nothingness, you know, in your guilt. And that all that you are asked to do is go, hey, I've been deceiving myself, and I've been hiding out in this place because I think I did something, right? I've been hiding out, you know? And you have a new association in yourself now where you recognize that when you're in a loop in your mind of justifying what it is that you think you are and justifying the problems that you think you have and feeling the grievances that you feel and you know, having the feelings come up, justifying the insane thoughts, having those thoughts justify the feelings and being in that loop, that you're really hiding out, right? Right? And that salvation, that heaven, is you coming out and sharing yourself and recognizing that heaven is a shared experience of a recognition that I love you and that there is nothing but this love. And that finally, we don't really talk about this because you can't teach love, but beyond the concepts and into a direct experience, you begin to have this sensation and the feeling and the beingness that I am love, you know, that you are love, and that's what we share. Is that okay? So how deceived I was to think that what I feared was in the world, right? Instead of in my mind alone, right? This is the responsibility for what I see. And the responsibility, again, it's not you're guilty for what you see. It's like you see what you see in order to feel guilty, right? Right? I hope this is helpful. The fact that you're responsible is the fact that you can change it, right? Because I am the cause of it, right? And if I can change it, there's no reason to be guilty, right? It is your salvation. How great. So all it is really, in a sense, is you becoming completely honest about what you're doing in your own mind. And you catch the moment in your mind that you heretofore would skip over. The quick forgetting that you would do in your mind that you are this powerful, that you are this vast, that your being is this loving, that you skip over the moment in every single moment when whoever is in front of you you deeply fall in love with, right? And you skip over that. So now you become aware of that. And you literally let yourself constantly fall in love. And when that begins to happen in you, there's no situation that you find yourself in that is not a perfect setup to have this experience of yourself as love. All right? So I trust. Oh, man. I love it because, you know, finally he's going to, he gets to, in the manual for teachers, that trust is the first thing that you develop. Right? It's not the last thing. It's the first thing. The last thing is open-mindedness. I thought that that would be the first. Right? But finally, you're stripped of your necessity to figure out what's happening. Right? And then in your open-mindedness, something new will demonstrate to you this new change of mind. And that should happen. And if that's not happening, it's just because you continually would like to tell the universe how you would like it to be for you. And it's just not part of the program. Sorry. There's just a couple little things that are how it's going to be. Listen to this. Could you play that Michael Hedges song again?
Yeah.
Today, I see the world in the celestial gentleness with which creation shines. There is no fear in it. What is reflected there is in God's mind. Listen. Now the images that I see, they reflect my thoughts. Right? I've been living in symbols. I've been living in imagery in my mind. I name it all, and I live within the language of the symbols that are symbols of symbols. And it is this that I interact with in my mind rather than this feeling of being, this feeling that I'm totally taken care of. And this is the escape from concepts. You don't need a symbol for what you are. You don't need a, why would anything need a symbol for anything? Right? So my thoughts have been symbols, formulations in my mind, problem-solving techniques, because I didn't think in my mind that what I was enough. And that I had to create myself. Wow. And once you start doing that, there's nothing you don't trust. There's no situation that you enter into that is not a perfect setup, you know? And I love this idea that the Holy Spirit, that everything that you bring to Him now, because now you're not hiding anything, because you trust Him, you want peace, you know how it is achieved, that in your relationship with Him, He will optimize your experience for you to understand and for you to share. Well, I think. Yet is my mind at one with God's. And so I can perceive creation's gentleness. In the new quiet in your mind, in your refusal to strive for anything, I look upon the world anew, and it now reflects your thoughts, my Father, and mine as well. Let me remember that they are the same, and I will see creation's gentleness. I will manifest. I will make manifest. Going to read a little from chapter 9, the acceptance of the atonement, so that we can just see that all the limits that we placed on ourself, our body ideas, our boundaries, our location of ourself, is really a facade that we use to maintain an idea of ourself that's already over, that's already been corrected, and that I've been given new life, born again here and now, in this moment. And in my trust that that is so, I'm free to experience the joy of creation. So this is chapter 9, number 6, the acceptance of your brother. Uh-oh. I wish I could just wake up without having to deal with my brother. This is amazing. There's new words that I'm having in myself that I never really associated much with. One of them is acceptance. I never really used that word or liked that word. I just didn't understand it. The acceptance of your brother. How can you become increasingly aware of the Holy Spirit in you, except by His effects? You cannot see Him with your eyes, nor hear Him with your ears. How then can you perceive him at all? Listen, if you inspire joy and others react to you with joy, even though you are not experiencing joy yourself, there must be something in you that is capable of producing it. Wow. Are you not who you thought you were? If it is in you and can produce joy, and if you see that it does produce joy in others, you must be dissociating in it yourself. Wow. It seems to you that the Holy Spirit does not produce joy consistently in you only because you do not consistently arouse joy in others. Their reactions to you, now listen, their reactions to you are your evaluations of his consistency. Holy crap. When you are inconsistent, you will not always give rise to joy, and so you will not always recognize his consistency. Listen, what you offer your brother, you offer to him, because he cannot go beyond your offering in his giving. Right? The Holy Spirit, cannot go beyond your offering in his giving. Right? This is not because he limits his giving, but simply because you have limited your receiving. Right? This is essentially what I would love to express today. You have limited your receiving based on what you think you are. The decision to receive is the decision to accept. If your brothers are part of you, will you accept them? It's a good question. If your brothers are a part of you, will you accept them? How is the only way you could accept them? Yeah, and accept them as yourself, right? Only they can teach you what you are. Wow. For your learning is the result of what you taught them. Fantastic singularity. There is no world out there. You are only in an interaction with yourself. What you call upon in them, you call upon in yourself. And as you call upon it in them, it becomes real to you. Wow. God has but one Son, right? Knowing them all as one. Only God Himself is more than they, but they are not less than He is. Would you know what this means? If what you do to my brother, you do to me, right? I mean, let's just stop right there. If what you do to my brother, you do to me, and if you do everything for yourself because we are a part of you, everything we do belongs to you as well. Everyone God created is part of you and shares his glory with you. His glory belongs to him, but it is equally yours. I'm going to skip down. Miracles have no place in eternity, right? Because they're reparative. Yet while you still need healing, your miracles are the only witnesses to your reality that you can recognize. You cannot perform a miracle for yourself, because miracles are a way of giving acceptance and receiving it. Wow. So are you performing a miracle when you accept yourself as perfect and you share this perfection with your brother? Is that what performing a miracle is? In that moment, not taking your evaluation for yourself? You know, I'm in a constant action in my mind of look again, look again, look again. In time, giving comes first, though they are simultaneous in eternity, where they cannot be separated. When you have learned they are the same, the need for time is over. Wow. When you have learned that giving and receiving are the same, time is over. Eternity is one time. Its only dimension being always. This cannot mean anything to you until you remember God's open arms. Wow. This cannot mean anything to you till you remember God's open arms and finally know His open mind. Open mind. Like Him, you are always. Can you get a sense of that in your mind right now? You are always. In His mind and with a mind perfectly like His. In your open mind are your creations, in perfect communication, born of perfect understanding. Could you but accept one of them, you would not want anything the world has to offer. Right? Because you've been hiding here to avoid everything. Right? You've been hiding here to avoid everything. Everything else would be totally meaningless, right? Once you get a whiff of the air of your father's house, the idolatry that you thought would satisfy you, you just drop it. There's no overcoming temptation. You discovered where your peace was, right? In your open mind are your creations in perfect communication, born of perfect understanding. God's meaning is incomplete without you. Is this how you feel about yourself now? Is this how you feel about yourself now? And you are incomplete without your creations. Accept your brother in this world and accept nothing else. For in Him you will find your creations because He created them with you. You will never know that you are co-creator with God unless you learn that your brother is co-creator with you. Great. Okay. Yeah, you can play that little tune that you just played. Thank you. last thing I'd like to say is there was something that Mitch touched on yesterday. It was just extraordinary. And it got me thinking about that quote in the Bible, or the story in the Bible, and I looked for it, I can't find it, maybe Juby can help me. But it's the idea that when, you know, you keep looking for your past associations or that thing in you that you did that caused you to be the way that you are. And, you know, you'll always find what you're searching for in that sense. Not that it's necessarily true. And would you understand that everything that happens to you is for your own good? That everything that happens to you is a perfect setup. And it's like you don't really like that because I don't know why you don't like it. But you don't like that. And the story in the Bible is, or I might find out why you don't like it in a second, but the story in the Bible is Jesus is walking with his disciples, and you can see that the disciples are kind of learning how to heal, and it's like they come across a leper and they go, "Hey Jesus, what is the sin that his parents committed that he's, what is the reason why he's like this?" Right? And what is the sins that his parents committed for him to be like this, you know? Thinking that Jesus heals by recognizing what the sin is that the parents had done. And Jesus goes, "This guy is the way that he is for the glory of God." I don't know if I need to say more. But the fact of the matter is that the way that he is will be a demonstration to you through his healing of what's possible in God. Right? So, is that true? Help me out here. What's that? Oh, was it a blind man?
And he healed
them. And he says, it's not any of them. This was done for the glory of God, right? So you walk into every, like in that sense, everything that happens for it to you, because you're in a transformative process in your own mind, is to demonstrate the glory of God, right? And if you felt that way about yourself, what would your experience be? You know? So that's all I would want to express, is that you're not guilty.
Thank you.
And that guilt actually doesn't do anything. You know? It's like my mom thinks that if she makes me guilty, it's going to make me pick up my clothes in my room. Right? And so I learned, I don't know where this is coming from now. It's just it's a miniature example of the fact that guilt just feeds guilt, right? It doesn't actually do anything. It's sort of like worry. Like, did worry ever get you to really do anything about it? You know, what got me to do something about it, what the energy of reparation in that sense is that I am the cause of it, and I can change my experience because I'm the cause of it. I'm responsible for what I see because my mind is whole. I am the I am the dreamer of the dream and not the figure in the dream, right? This is my dream. I am the dreamer of the dream. And I'm waking up with you. Right? And in the simple admittance of that, the simple recognition, all of the situations that the dream presented me is now a reflection that I am waking up. And in that sense, you accept everything. And you trust everything. And when a door says, do not enter, you go right in. All right, I think that's good. So thank you.
Thank you,
thank you, thank you. I love you. And we're gonna watch the seventh video in the series of love is a many splendored thing. Love is a many splendored thing. Now I would understand love. Now I can understand love in my mind because I'm not localizing it. It's a complete experience and it is the totality of my whole mind. And he's going to do a little reading of the real world does not look anything like this. So enjoy. I love you.
Thank you.